Welcome to More Than Medicine, where Jesus is more than enough for the ills that plague our culture and our country. Hosted by author and physician, Dr. Robert Jackson.
Papa, can you tell me a story?
Do you really want me to tell you a story? Well, you go get your brother and your sisters, and I will tell you a story. Welcome to Devotions with Dr. Papa. Gather around and grab your Bibles as we look into the written word, which reveals to us the living word, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, we're in Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to discuss the wonderful God that's revealed in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. Now, last week, if you will remember, in Daniel chapter 7, we reviewed Daniel's vision of the four beasts that came up from the earth, which were four world governments. This week, we're looking at the wonderful God that's revealed in this very same vision. So let me begin by reading Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat, and the books were opened. Now we're going to skip over a little bit to verse 13. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Now let's go back to verse 9, and let's talk a little bit about this wonderful God. First of all, we notice that Daniel says, I kept looking. In other words, his vision continues. And he tells us that thrones were set up. If you notice, the word there for thrones is plural. You might ask, why in the world is the word for thrones plural? Well, the answer is because our God is a triune God. And a triune God requires more than one throne. Then he talks about the Ancient of Days, who took his seat upon the thrones. He who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is from everlasting to everlasting, took his seat upon the throne. He whose kingdom has no end, whose dominion endures forever, took his seat upon the throne. He who sits upon the throne of the universe, the throne of the heavens and the earth, and heaven and earth flee away from his presence, and there is no place found for them. No man can look into his face and live. As Nebuchadnezzar said, he is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? This is the Ancient of Days who took his seat upon the throne. And then the Bible describes his vesture. His clothing was like white snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was ablaze with flames, and its wheels were a burning fire. And a river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. His attendants, those who attended him, were thousands upon thousands, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. And then in this vision, Daniel says that the court sat. Now, why does a court sit? Well, you know, a court sits to render a decision. A court sits for judgment. And in verse 26 of this same chapter, the Bible tells us, but the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. Of whom is this speaking? Whose dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever? Well, you know, it's the small horn that became the boastful horn with boastful words, which soon became the ruler over all the earth. It was the anti-Messiah, the anti-Christ, whose kingdom is taken away from him. And when the court sits for judgment, with the Ancient of Days sitting upon his throne, it is the Antichrist whose authority and whose dominion is taken away from him, annihilated and destroyed forever. And the books, plural, are opened, and is from the books that the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist, is judged. And then in verse 11, the Bible describes the end of the beast. Daniel says, I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain, and its body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. And then in verse 12, as for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. So it's apparent that the other three beasts, that their kingdoms, their authority was taken away, but their life was given to them for an appointed period of time. So their life continued, although the life of the beast ended, and he was cast where? Into the lake of burning fire. Now we see that in Revelations chapter 19, verses 11 through 21, which describes the ending of the beast himself. Let me read that for you. Revelations chapter 19, verse 11 through 21. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it, called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, come assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of commanders, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves, and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his throne, against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Now this describes the coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It describes the end of the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, who were thrown into the lake of fire. That fire which flowed from underneath the throne of the Ancient of Days. And you see, this is the end of the beast who had the eyes of a man and always had the boastful words coming from his mouth. And when the court sat for judgment and the books were opened, it signaled the end of the dominion of the Antichrist. And the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was the end of the Antichrist rule. Now, where else have we seen a description of the Lord Jesus Christ as he was described here in this passage, with his vesture as white as snow and his hair as white as wool and a throne with flaming fire? Well, in Revelations chapter 1, in verse 12 through 18, we have a similar passage that describes this very same scene. Revelations chapter 1, here's John the Revelator describing, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades.'" You see, the same description that Daniel saw way back in the book of Daniel, in chapter 7, in this vision, John the Revelator saw also in his revelation. This description of the wonderful king in verse 13, Jesus is the only one in all of Scripture who is called wonderful. Our Messiah is the only one in all of the Bible who is called wonderful. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 16, the Bible says that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You see, he is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, yea, fairer than all the angels that heaven can boast. He's also described as the Son of Man in this passage. Did you catch that? "I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming." One like the Son of Man, which reveals the dual nature of our Messiah, both God and man, fully God, the Ancient of Days, and fully man, the Son of Man. The two natures blended together into one person, the God-man, our incarnate Savior. And the Word became flesh, and the Word became flesh. And we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, we see the two natures revealed in Revelation chapter 5, all the way over in Revelation, where Messiah is described to be God on the throne with a scroll in his hands. Yet at the same time, he's described as a lamb, as though it had been recently slain. The Messiah is both. He is divine nature. His divine nature is revealed as he sits upon the throne. His human nature is revealed as he stands before the throne. The two compose the one person, our Messiah. And then in verse 14 in Daniel chapter 7, "And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." For you see, his kingdom is given to him by the Ancient of Days. And his glory, he's given glory, he's given a kingdom. And then it tells us that every language, every people group will serve him. In Revelation chapter 5, the scripture tells us, "And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." You see, Jesus, with his own blood, purchased for himself people from every tribe and every language and every ethnic group. And he has made them into a kingdom and priest unto his God. And you see, all of this predicted in advance by Daniel in this vision that God gave him in the night. And in this same chapter, in verse 27, Daniel tells us, "Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him." This was Daniel predicting this nearly 800 years before John the Revelator told us the very same thing. And Daniel is predicting the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ when he sits upon the physical throne of David in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And he rules and reigns with his saints, a physical reign on planet Earth for 1,000 years. Now listen to what John has to say about that. In Revelation chapter 20, he describes this whole 1,000-year reign. First of all, Satan has to be bound. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time." Why must he be released? I do not know. It's part of God's plan. Verse 4, Revelation 20. "Then I saw the thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the Word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Now, brothers and sisters, there are multiple resurrections, there are multiple judgments, and we're going to devote a whole lesson to judgments and resurrections in a later lesson. Just hold on to your horses, and we're going to get to that in a subsequent week. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Now this describes the 1,000-year millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. How did Daniel and John, 800 years apart, know these things? Well, Peter answers that question. Peter said, "For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Both Daniel and John could see the future through the same eyes, the very same eyes, the eyes of the Holy Spirit. And that's how both of them could know these things, could know the very same things 800 years apart. The Bible also tells us that God does nothing without first revealing it to man through His servants, the prophets. We understand the future because God is gracious and kind, and He is a revealer of mysteries, as Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan king, told us. Now let me ask you a question. Should we fear the future and the eventual rise of Antichrist? Of course not. Holy Spirit lives in you and me, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Holy Spirit is greater than the enemy of our soul. Holy Spirit is greater than the Antichrist, and He lives in you and me. More than that, I don't even believe the man of perdition, Antichrist, will rise to power until the restraining influence of Holy Spirit that is resident within the church is taken away at the rapture of the church. Only then will Antichrist be free to rise to power. So you and I have no reason to fear. Now, the end of Daniel's vision in chapter 7 in the book of Daniel concludes with these words. Daniel chapter 7, and he says this, "At this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and my face grew pale, but I kept the matter to myself." He may have kept the matter to himself, but he recorded it for your and my benefit. Now next week, we're going to look into Daniel chapter 8, the vision of the ram and the he-goat. And it will further clarify for you and me information about Antichrist. So stay tuned for next week's lesson, and I think you will find it very informative. You're listening to Devotions with Dr. Papa. If you like what you hear, I pray that you will follow, like, or share. Tell your friends about it and be back with me next week. The Lord bless you real good.
Thank you for listening to this edition of More Than Medicine. For more information about the Jackson Family Ministry, Dr. Jackson's book, or to schedule a speaking engagement, go to their Facebook page, Instagram, or their webpage at jacksonfamilyministry.com. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Production at bobsloan.com.